The traffic was at a standstill. I was filtering up to the lights, thinking about getting home and helping my wife, Ev, with the packing. I couldn't wait to get on the slopes and watch my three gorgeous daughters learning to ski. Suddenly, without warning, a pedestrian stepped between the vehicles right in front of me. He wasn't looking my way. My God, I was going to hit him. I was into a skid and shouting, "Watch out, mate!" But he didn't see me. I had no choice but to throw the bike away from him. I was off, chucking the machine to my right, flying through the air. I clattered into him, and he was down, but at least the bike hadn't hit him. I was still flailing forwards, the road coming up to meet me with sickening speed. The holiday, Ev and the kids waiting for me at home, Charlie and all the team, everything we'd planned together. My body slammed into the road. Was it all over before we'd even begun?
I remember the moment it started. It was October 2004, late one Friday night. We were in the old office in Bulwer Street where Long Way Round had all begun, where we'd planned everything, where we'd first seen the bikes. We'd ridden around the world, an epic adventure. The maps were still on the wall and we stood before them once more. Ewan glanced at me. "What do you reckon, Charlie? South America? India, maybe?" I looked up at him. "What about riding through Africa?" Ewan and I first met on a film set in County Clare, our friendship born out of our passion for motorbikes. We've been best mates ever since. We'd always talked about riding together, France maybe, Spain, but over dinner one night we decided to go the whole hog and ride around the world. A late night conversation became an adventure, and that adventure proved to be a pivotal point in my life. I'd enjoyed success in the movie business, but after Long Way Round, the direction of my life altered completely. Ever since I can remember, I'd always wanted to race bikes. So, together with Russ Malkin, a very good friend and producer-director of Long Way Round, I entered the world's most dangerous race, the 2006 Dakar Rally, 5 days in January, where I rode ridiculous distances at ridiculous speeds before an innocuous crash tipped me off and I broke both my hands. That dream was over for now, but another was just beginning. Ewan flew in for the end of the Dakar to congratulate us. He was joined by filmmaker David Alexanian, the fourth member of the team that created Long Way Round. And there in the scorching sun, we confirmed what we'd first planned over a year before in Bulwer Street. John O'Groats to Cape Town. We would ride the long way down. Once my hands were healed, the first thing Ewan and I did was return to the Royal Geographical Society in London, the place where we'd mapped out the first trip. The same assistant we'd spoken to before spread large-scale maps on a mahogany table. "Have you decided on a route?" she asked us. I shook my head. "Nothing definite yet, but we're going to ride down through Europe, I think, probably cross from Sicily." "We'd like to follow the Nile," Ewan said. "It's one of those journeys, you know, one of the great trips of the world." She nodded. "Sudan is pretty unstable, and so are parts of Ethiopia, though Ethiopia is absolutely beautiful, and despite the problems, they're really trying to build up tourism. Sudan is full of open spaces, the Africa of the movies. There are security issues, however." She was right. We already knew we'd need armed guards to get us through places like northern Kenya. This was going to be a very different journey from Long Way Round. We headed for the wilds of Devon and a weekend survival course. The weather was shit, a cold, drizzling rain, and to make things even more miserable, Ewan had his tent up before me. He was crowing about it. I mean, he never gets his tent up before me. It was galling. After that, we got lost in the wild wood whilst hunting for strategically placed survival rations, and then we had to build shelters from fallen branches and bits of foliage. The instructor was complimentary about my shelter, testing the structural quality by climbing right over it while I was lying inside. Ewan was arranging leaves and ferns and other bits and pieces. "Colour coding confuses your enemy," I heard him mutter. Finally, he was finished. He was stretched out inside and the instructor asked him if he felt confident that it was structurally sound. Ewan replied that he did. "Good," the instructor said, "because I'm going to walk on it." He'd barely shifted his weight when the bell end collapsed, showering our Jedi Knight in broken branches. When our survival training was over, we returned to London with a strong sense of the dangers we would be facing on the trip. But little did we know that the first genuine accident would take place not at some remote African border, but on a busy street in West